Good morning, Gavin.
Hello.
Welcome sorry. Back to the podcast, everyone. This is I'm Liam.
I'm okay.
Okay, Gavin.
I was planning on being up at 9:30
yeah.
so that we could record at 11. It's 11:45 just about now, and I woke up about 5 minutes ago, and now I have a lot of work to do that won't get done because I have to leave. I'm going to, like, going to see my grandfather for his birthday in, like, at, like, 4. So now I have less time. But at least I have time to podcast.
Well, thank you for coming on and doing this podcast with me.
I would make you do a solo show. That'd be fun if we, like, stuck to doing it every week. But sometimes if the other person couldn't, it's just a solo show.
With Liam?
Yeah, just with Liam.
Yo, what is guys? We're going to be doing the With Liam podcast. It was a crazy week on Broadway. There's been so much going on.
That's why I was, like, rushing into this. Like, we have to do this. Because I didn't prep for this. That was part of my... You know, waking up on time was actually having notes. But there was so much to talk about. I think we should be okay without me having every last detail written down.
Yeah, and it's natural that way. You know, we do this well. This is what we do.
Yeah,
do you want to just
like
start
that.
Off with some of the big things that happened since we've been away?
I can go in chronological order just while I'm looking at the timeline of things. So pretty much right after we recorded. So we recorded the day... what was it? It was like a day or two after some new figure stepped into Funny Girl, and she actually, and most of the cast is now out with COVID, and I'm trying really hard not to say this actress's name because we vowed to not talk about her anymore, but she is a pretty big deal out on Broadway, so
yeah.
It's kind of hard not to. Yeah, but she left the show for like one day with symptoms, and then it came out like a few hours later that she has COVID. And so Julie Benko's back for the next, you know, 10 days or whatever until this actress is not having COVID anymore. But most of the cast is out right now, which is crazy because Funny Girl had the best week on Broadway, as most of you could probably guess. I'll get into that a little later, but I'm interested to see kind of what that means moving forward. Like what the week looks like. It's like, oh, when new actress gets here to when COVID and then post COVID, just to try to see how those numbers look. I don't know. I'm interested to see what that looks like.
Yeah, I'm really excited because obviously she's going to be out for at least 5 days. So we can literally see the wave, like the grosses for next week will be really telling about like what effect she's having on the show. And
well, I wonder if most people who were, I don't know, maybe it's skewed, but I don't know how many people are going to give up their tickets because they wanted to see her. They wanted to see, they wanted to see Leah. And so if, I don't know, I don't know. I'm interested to see what those look like.
Yeah.
Because they had such a good week this week.
Truly, like, the numbers are going to shock you when we get to it later. It's alarming.
I haven't seen anything like this yet. It's ridiculous. It is ridiculous.
Yeah.
So the James Earl Jones Theater was unveiled on September 12th. The name change comes with a $47 million restoration and expansion of the former Court Theater. But that is now the James Earl Jones Theater. I saw some pics of what it looks like. It looks awesome. Really, really cool. It's great. It's great. What else are we looking at here? We got some new casting for Chicago. Almost Famous is doing a ticket giveaway.
I mean, obviously.
This is good. What were you gonna say?
No, go ahead. Because if we're doing chronological,
yeah, I got Mr. Saturday Night, which is the Billy Crystal musical we've been talking about on here. They just closed last Sunday, so this would be the first week that we had no Mr. Saturday Night. But they just announced that they're going to have their pro shot. They recorded a pro shot, and that's going to stream on Broadway HD, which is pretty cool. Maybe you can, if you're a big Broadway HD guy, you could watch Mr. Saturday Night.
Yeah.
That's kind of the only way I would watch that show, TBH.
Well, it'll be free. So, well, if you have Broadway HD. But
I mean, Jason Robert Brown and Amanda Green did the music, so maybe it's great.
That was like the craziest Tony performance I've ever seen, and not in necessarily the way they hope.
Yeah, exact dates to be announced, but, you know, something cool. I love accessible theater like that. Yeah, in other good news, Lilias White is Hermes in Broadway's Hadestown originally. Yes. She did that about 3 days ago, so today, on September 13th, I don't know what that is. Really cool. I've seen some rehearsal clips. I've seen some clips of her on the show. Just if you've seen Hadestown, you might need to see it again just for this casting. It's awesome. It's awesome.
Literally. Yeah. That's everything I'm hearing is that she's amazing. Oh, they posted a clip and it just looks so good.
I know. Like, I know we've already talked about it and everything, but like, geez, awesome. Awesome. Moving right along. We got, this is pretty big. So we've talked about this before, and we have alluded to the fact that this is probably going to happen, but it's official that Hugh Jackman and Sutton Foster in The Music Man, they're going to be closing on January 1st, so they right as they make it to 2022, in The Music Man revival on Broadway. Once we saw that once Hugh had to take the week off, they just don't do the show. That's a pretty telltale sign that they're not going to try to recast.
Yeah.
We've talked about this. This show has now told us they cannot survive without Hugh Jackman. And
which, truthfully, I don't believe that, but
I don't know if I believe that either.
I'm not the producer of the show.
It's really hard to try to think of someone who is Hugh Jackman level and could sell Hugh Jackman level tickets.
That's
I think
true.
Sutton Foster, you could argue you could find someone else of that caliber, because she's, you know, much more known in the Broadway world, which is a lot smaller than Hugh Jackman being this international superstar. But yeah, I don't know. It's someone who is as talented, who is as big of a name, who is a Broadway vet. You probably shouldn't be making a Broadway debut or close to it in this show. Reviews of this show were kind of all over the place, so it's not like replacing Hugh Jackman would guarantee that people are going to continue to love this show. So I don't know. I this is longer than I honestly thought it was going to run for. If you asked me before this announcement came out, I'd be like, yeah, I give it to like February, March, but it's a little, you know, that's around when I thought it was going to close.
It's honestly probably a filming commitment for like that was probably going to be Hugh's last day, and the producers decided it's not financially viable. But also with the amount that they're paying him every week, I'm like, you'll just have a lower turnover, but I feel like you would still make a profit. Like, you could pay half of what Hugh is getting to another actor,
mm-hmm.
and you'd probably make about half,
right?
But you're still making the same amount of money, and you still get to run your show. I mean, like, what is gonna go in the Winter Garden?
This was also another discussion I was seeing. That's a good point. Is there's quite a bit of shows that we know about and are excited about that are coming to Broadway pretty soon that don't have their theaters announced yet, and this wave this Tony season is supposed to be really, really good.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be like super stacked. The biggest one is Anne Juliet, which is a really, really hyped up show right about now. You got Back to the Future. You got, I don't know, other ones that I can't think of. But there's a lot of new theater going on right now. And I would be really interested to see what the Tony season looks like, because it's going to be stacked.
Yeah.
And I think Into the Woods, it's another cool discussion to think, would they remove themselves from Tony contention, because they've done that before, and revivals are like, we don't want to be considered for Tonys. That's not why we're here.
I know with the production of Sunday they did with Jake Gyllenhaal and Emily Ashford, where that was the case. They they took themselves out of Tony contention. That was out of wanting as many people as possible to see it because Jake Gyllenhaal had a confined schedule. Like he, it was a stunt cast, but he was, you know, good. Another one of those cases where he was good for the role, but it was a stunt cast. And so the show was dependent on the two of them in it. And then he had a hard end date that he had to follow. Like he was contractually obligated to something else that started. And so they figured, why waste, I think it's something like 100 tickets or something, or almost 200 that you need to give away so that the Tony people can come see the show multiple times.
Oh, yeah. I see. They just didn't even want to deal with it.
It's just like, it's too much. And we would rather be able to give 200 people the opportunity to come see the show.
Yeah, and that's kind of been Into the Woods' whole thing, is like, Into the Woods was not supposed to be here. Into the Woods is well surpassed every expectation of what this show was, of where this show started, of where it is right now, honestly. It is not like, it's not like a, other than casting, it's not like a spectacle. It started off as a staged reading at the New York City Center that was just supposed to be like cool and fun because it had a great cast.
Yeah.
And now it has evolved into like one of the biggest heavy hitters on Broadway right now. And
ticket wise,
tickets and one of the hottest, like they're just, it's far beyond where this show started. And I think for them to then be like, now we want Tony Awards is like, would stray too far away from what the original production and producing and all of them wanted. But I wouldn't be surprised if they were like, nah, we've put a lot of work into this. Let's get our recognition for it.
Yeah. And I mean, as much as it's a powerhouse Tony season coming up, almost none of them are revivals, and they would have very little competition to win that best revival spot. Right. And really, you know, what else are they really going for? I mean, costume design for sure, but like, leading actress in a musical.
Yeah, they just have such high turnover too. It's like,
it would cast. Have to go. Oh wait,
it would have to go to their OG cast.
Yes,
because, like, Leah's not eligible for Funny Girl because she joined late, and it's like, you know, the OG cast. It would be really hard for me to like see awards just go to the OG cast because they cast it with people who are, you know, the same talent level. That's why I feel like the Tonys would just dramatize the whole thing. I don't know. Like, I feel like it would just be like, that's not really what Into the Woods is here for.
Yeah. It would not surprise me if they did not go for the Tonys. It would, like, honestly, looking at everything and seeing the way their show is being run with casting and it feels like a home for them. Like, it feels like a true company of people who are really enjoying working together.
And they're doing a really good job with backstage content. And just
they
giving
really
you
are.
Real
I mean, it, like,
insight.
This is setting a new bar for Broadway shows in how you need to be marketing yourself.
Absolutely.
It's 2022. You need to be using social media.
Like Josh Henry stairwell sessions, and like, I know he's doing that on his own and everything, but like,
all
him,
the same,
him just sitting down with his guitar and putting Taylor Swift and Sam Smith and Into the Woods songs in a mashup is like awesome, and it's like really good for your show because he has such a big following, and he does it with all the actors of the show. They have like this thing where like the understudies have their own Instagram account and have their own social media presence, and they do a bunch of funny stuff. I saw them pelting Josh Henry with beach balls the other day. It's like, it makes you want to see that show so much more.
It does.
And they're doing
it does.
They're hitting on all sorts of really great, modern, exciting points.
And that's another thing is that to the extent that sometimes Broadway shows almost feel like corporate musical theater. Like, do you know what I mean by that? Where like, shows feel like every single actor in this building shows up 1 minute before call, does the show, they give a great performance, it's their job.
But they're all
it's
business.
What they do, but show finishes, bam, goodbye, I don't interact with anyone in this cast outside of the theater. And with Into the Woods, they're doing a fantastic job, whether or not it's true, but making the audience feel like they are watching a family of actors just play and work together.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Just because these actors are such high level and they I wouldn't be surprised if knowing how nice these people are in the show, but like I wouldn't be surprised if Philippa Soo is just like, nah, like I'm a decorated actress, like I don't need to talk to you guys. Like I did one of the most successful shows to ever run on Broadway. Like fuck you. Like no, everyone in here. Like Sarah Bareilles walks around with her dog and is like, hey, what's up?
Yeah,
and it's like it's awesome. It's awesome.
Yeah.
And I would love to give a lot of credit to Josh Henry for doing a lot of really good outreach stuff.
Yeah.
Him and Gavin Creel went out to the sidewalk and just sang some songs. Like, it's great. It's great. It's really
and
good.
And now they're doing a cast album. It's announced.
Yeah, let's get right into that.
Yeah.
That just got announced yesterday that the Into the Woods cast recording is going to be released. We know what date it is. I totally know what date it is.
It's the 28th, right? 26th?
I want to say 25th.
Where the hell?
I'm looking.
Get me on this Instagram page right now.
September 30th!
Nice.
Let me just read you straight from the article. The album from Concord Theatricals / Craft Recordings will drop digitally September 30th and on CD December 7th. 2nd. A vinyl release is set for March 17th.
Jesus. Wow.
Maybe I'll get the vinyl recording. It's pretty cool. And that has the original Broadway cast. So Brian D'Arcy James, Philippa Soo, and, you know, those folks.
Get Stephanie J. Block in a studio and give her a couple songs.
That'd be cool. If you had some hybrid casting for the show,
yeah,
like Sarah Bareilles. I think it would have to be Stephanie J. Block does Act 2.
I think for a cast album, the way that especially Sondheim shows, because they have the history of what a cast album used to serve, where like that was their Broadway HD is listening to the cast album.
Right.
And that's why when you look at those older cast albums, like sometimes it says like Act 1, Scene 4, the song, and it's like there's 2 minutes of dialogue before it because you need that setup for the kid at home in Iowa. Who is never going to see a Broadway show because it's like impossible to get there in 1993.
Absolutely. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
But I'd love to see like a, I always think of like Godspell, that new Broadway, the revival recording where they do like the after sessions with Telly.
I love that.
And
yes.
I want more of those in my cast albums, please.
And I'm pretty sure that's how they opened Act 2 in the show.
Yes.
It was, and it was Telly and...
Lindsay Mendez,
thank you. And it's just awesome. Yeah, that's another go.
For one of my classes last semester, we watched the Theater on Film and Tape archives at Lincoln Center. That was one of my classes for musical theater history, and we got to see that production, and it's so cool. It starts off obviously Circle in the Square, and they serve like bread and wine during intermission as like a communion style thing, and then during it the music director, the keyboard one player, is on stage for the whole show in like a little cutout section, and Telly goes like, get out of here, like scram. And he just starts playing the piano during intermission as just like a, okay, I'm very warm. Let's show off a little bit.
That's so
awesome. It's so cool. And it's so good. And I want that style, like that Godspell style of show is just so fun to watch and to be a part of, where you just get to like see everything.
Yeah,
in that, and that's another one. That show needs to be done by a family ensemble.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. I would also, just like a weird Godspell thing. It's always interesting, like looking at like resumes or talking to people where they've done Godspell, and you have to put like the song that you sang, or like so that they could kind of understand the track that you played in that show. Unless you're Jesus, then great. But then you got to be like on my resume, I have to put like all good gifts. Or some people I know even put like telly, and it's like, well, you're playing yourself, but kind of.
That's the thing, is that in the licensed version, they just use their real name. It's Lindsay, Telly,
right.
All these people.
What else are you going to do?
And that's the point of the show. It's so interesting. We had this long discussion about Godspell. I'd love to do a deep dive on that show as well.
Yeah.
On the podcast. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. In my own theater news, I got to go see the final dress performance for the regional premiere of Beautiful the Carol King musical on Wednesday night.
Is that the tour that's coming through? They're doing...
No, that is at the Agunkle Playhouse. And it was really, really good.
Yeah.
So that is the first time the show has been produced other than the OG production on Broadway. And it is incredible. It has a ton of the of people in it who have done the show on Broadway. It's just awesome. Let me pull up some quick casting things just so I can. This is what I get for not prepping the podcast. I'm usually so prepared. I just don't want to talk about this yet until I have things in front of me that I can reference, because it's just awesome. Previews began last night. I got to see the final dress, which was really cool. They got to, like, it's so fun getting to see stuff like that, like seeing them hold, seeing them mess up, seeing stuff not go right, because it was the first time that they had run everything together with the band, with the set, and with everything. And it's really cool that the set they brought in from the UK tour, and they bought it. They bought the set, and it's awesome. It's just incredible.
I heard amazing things about that show when it was
running. Oh my god. Like, not knowing much about Carol King, I was like, oh, I know that song. Oh yeah, that makes sense. Oh yeah, yeah, cool, sure. And like, it was just awesome. And it was starring Sarah Bockle, and she played Carol King on Broadway up until it closed. And she joined the cast in September, and then they closed in October, something like that. So she was only in it for a little while, but she had been doing the tour. She's done this show a lot, and she's the best part of that show. That's why she played it on Broadway. That's why she gets to come do it now. She's just incredible. It was awesome. The choreography was great. The choreography was actually done by Joyce Chittick, who was the associate choreographer for the tour, and she actually directed me and some of our friends' little junior production of Frozen at the Playhouse a few summers ago when we did that. And she's married to Rick Fango, who also, but just run to see this show if you're nearby. It's running for the end of October till October 30th, and it's great. It's so great. Just coming off of seeing, they started the season with Cher, which was, again, the regional premiere, and then they did two original shows, and one of them was pretty good, and one of them was, you know, not my favorite, and this was just, it's such a good way to round out the season, because Agunkwit has to market a lot towards the older generation, because that's who's coming to see their shows most of the time. That's why they don't have, that's why they have a ton of matinees. And I want to say their schedule is Wednesday through Sunday, but they still do 8 shows a week. They just have 3 two-show days.
Wow.
Just crazy. And this is perfect. It's going to do so well. I loved it. I loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else do I have for you? Casting's complete for the Take Me Out revival.
Do you want to get into the grosses?
Yeah, I will. Ba-da-bump, ba-da-bump. All right. Just at a glance, it was kind of all over the place this week. Some shows did really, really well. Some shows did really, 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 really terribly. And some shows were just like, yeah, we're chilling. Like, some shows like pretty much broke even this week. Like Hadestown. And is that Moulin Rouge? Yeah, and Moulin Rouge, just like pretty much nothing's changing there.
Yeah.
But at a glance, the two shows that sold out this week, again, were MJ and Dear Evan Hansen. That's probably going to be the case for a little while now.
Yeah.
But I am... This week is really, really scary for Into the Woods. And I say that because they went from selling 98% of their tickets last week, week ending September 4th. Week ending September 14th, they sold 68% of their tickets. That is a negative 30.8% difference in ticket sales, which is astronomical.
Yeah.
They had the most empty theater on Broadway. It wasn't even close. Like, the next closest theater of empty-wise was the Kite Runner at 73%. And then it looks like Beetlejuice at 77. So
I have no idea what happened.
I don't know what happened. I know Andy Carl's in the show right now instead of Gavin Creel. Andy Carl, you know, might know him from I've Got a Package. He's playing Cinderella's Prince right now. Gavin Creel's back. He's been on a scheduled hiatus. I don't know what else could attribute to this. They also lost the most money. They lost $823,000 this week, or negative 44%. Like, they lost a quarter of their sales, almost.
Anytime it dips into the 60% for me, like, because they're at 68%, right?
Oh, just for... really, really bad. Yeah, really, it's just, really bad.
It's just a bad omen, and I hope it's a one-off, and I hope it's a fluke for them, because I don't understand.
$823,000, like pushing half of their ticket sales, almost.
Yeah,
almost.
Yeah,
I don't know. They were at 90. It would be one thing if it was like, oh, the week before they were at 75. Now they're at 68. No, they went from a full house at 98.8% to 68% ticket sales.
Like, yeah.
Anyways, on the flip side of this, Funny Girl, you win. You're the champ this week. Like, on the other side of this, Funny Girl sold 16.8% more tickets. They went from selling 79% last week to 95.8% this week. But their ticket sales jumped by 148.41%. They doubled and a half their grosses this week, which is unheard of. They went from making $659,000 to $1,639,000. They made almost $1 million more dollars in 1 week.
Can you imagine, like, the concept from the producer's point of view, in that she had COVID by the end of the week, right? That was like five performances.
Yeah, it was right. She only did, she really only got to do like a few shows. I think she did like two or three.
And they made $1 million more
from her not even being in the show.
She wasn't even there.
It is the top ticket was $499, which is Music Jeez. Man territory. I would compare this to Music Man, but Music Man was on another scheduled hiatus this week. So some of these numbers are skewed because no Music Man and no Saturday Night. So there were 14 less performances on Broadway this week. There were 152 shows, like nights, like performances that happened this week. Just looking at last week, that's much less than their 166. So I can't really give you anything for the full numbers. Certain shows had pretty whatever weeks. Wicked lost a good amount of money. Lion King lost a good amount of money. Six lost a good amount of money. Harry Potter lost a lot of money.
Oh, they don't care.
Harry Potter lost a lot of money. Hamilton did not have a good week. What else? Aladdin and Beetlejuice. Beetlejuice was fine, actually. But, yeah, no, Aladdin and Beetlejuice, they were kind of mid this week.
Yeah.
Funny Girl, you win. You are the champ this week. They were the champ in gross percentage, 150% of ticket. Like,
I mean,
Could you imagine being the person in charge of the financials for this show and just seeing it double and a half?
Yeah.
Like, unbelievable. Unbelievable. And then they sold almost 20% more tickets. Just, you win. You win, funny girl. Very interested to see what next week looks like, because you can't really go up that much more from here. I'd be really surprised if they have another huge jump and stuff like this.
Yeah. They won't have a jump, but they'll have probably a similar week to this.
Yeah.
If she'll have another opening night when she comes back.
If they stay like this, they'll do just fine for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all I got. I think we did pretty well.
Yeah.
What am I trying to say? I'm so tired still. I think we did good with no notes, no nothing.
Yeah.
Gavin with Liam off the rip.
Off the rip. I would say that's it for today. Thank you everybody for listening.
I would too. You'll see us back next Friday where we can... I'm very... look forward to the Broadway Grosses next week, because this will be a pretty important week. Telltale signs for if Funny Girl's going to continue to do just as well as this, if they can keep this up, or if this is just a wave of being really excited for Lea Michele. And if Into the Woods can bounce back. Their average ticket price didn't really drop, so this wasn't really like a... They're trying to like bring things down. Like, this was not their doing. They didn't try to do this.
Yeah.
Their average ticket was $112. Last week was $138. That's not a big difference. It's a lot, but it's not too much. That just comes from selling less tickets. So yeah. Very excited. Very excited for what that looks like. But this has been another episode of the Gavin with Liam podcast.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.